Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic. Hi, guys. Happy Wednesday. I know Podcast Tuesday is on Tuesday, but today's Wednesday. So I apologize. I had some family in town, which is a big blessing. So I'm coming to you on Wednesday, but I have a great subject for you as we are on our kind of mini series of the different voices of the inner critic. So this week, we're going to talk about the inner critical voice of the enemy. So this one isn't exactly our voice, but it is a voice that speaks to us, that brings thoughts into our mind, that tries to distract us. It tries to, you know, honestly, the Bible says kill, steal, and destroy us. And I don't see that as much of like a physical threat as I do a voice that can cause us to kill, steal, and destroy ourselves. And I don't mean that in a super, super literal way always, right? It can kill our hope. It can destroy our peace. You know, it can steal our joy. So it's not always like super literal, but it is something that really does try to hold us down, try to hold us back from the abundant life, which Jesus said that he came to give us. In scripture in John 10:10, it actually says those two things, right? Like it says those two things right in line, right? It says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, which is good news, right? I know, such good news. Jesus always says good news. So that is good news. And I'm very excited about that. And today we're not going to talk about, we're not going to like over glorify the enemy. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to do that in my life. I used to come across like I had a lot of torment in my life, a lot of mental struggle in my life. And so I sometimes spent more time talking about the enemy than I did talking about God or thinking about the enemy than I did thinking about God. And God had to correct me in that and let me know like, yeah, girl, that's not it. So I always want to be, you know, very mindful since he taught me that to not go there. At the same time, the Bible also says, do not be unaware of the schemes of the enemy. So it's, you know, it's a balance that's very, very like off kilter, you know, like thinking about God is up here, thinking about the enemy is way down here. But, you know, we also kind of want to know how he works. Just so we can catch him, right? Just so we can catch those little foxes. In Song of Solomon, it talks about, will you catch the little foxes that are getting in the way of our relationship? I love that scripture. And in the scripture, it says, you know, will you do that? But then it says, we can do it together, which I think is really sweet. So, you know, catching these little foxes, these little things that get in between our relationship with God, which is going to be from the enemy usually, or our own, you know, flesh, if it can get in the road too, but the enemy's really good at this. And it's kind of his main job, you know, is to get in the middle, between us and God. And, you know, that's why it's important to be okay to talk about it, to catch the little foxes with God, not to overemphasize it, which I've made the mistake of doing, but also not to ignore it because ignorance isn't bliss, right? Like, not always. So it is important to, you know, be aware that what I'm going to teach today, what I'm going to share today, are good things to just recognize, you know, as you're going through life and as thoughts come in, As you kind of hear yourself talk to yourself, or you hear other thoughts come in that seem to be mean, you know, I call it the mean voice in my book and in my courses. The mean voice, you know, the inner critic, self-hatred, that those are all different. They're all kind of the same part of a conglomerate, you know, that goes on inside. But the enemy is not actually in us, right? But lies to us in our thoughts, in our mind. And the Bible calls the enemy the father of lies. And I think that's very telling, like just right there in black and white, he's the father of lies. And so we have to just see that for what it is. He's lying to us about some things, you know? And I asked God one time, I said, oh, how do I know? And I go into this more in my courses, but I'm like, how do I know if it's you speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, the enemy speaking to me? Like, I wasn't sure, right? Because of course, you know, we're all doing our best. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, well, it depends on the fruit of the thought, which I thought was brilliant. You know, is the fruit of the thought the fruit of the Spirit? If it is, it's probably from God. If the fruit of the thought is fear, condemnation, shame, guilt, that's probably from the enemy, you know, or of some self-hating tendencies, which most people have, if I'm honest. I know we don't all like to admit it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You probably do. So, because we're not, you know, we're just not perfect humans, unfortunately. But we do have a perfect Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and a perfect Jesus, which the Bible says we're in him and he's in us. So it's quite a paradox. Okay, so I want to start off by talking about the main language of the enemy. The main language of the enemy is fear. Like that's his like main language. So fear can look like, what if this happens? You know, it's like where you go down those swirls. Sometimes we call them swirls, you know, those thought patterns that kind of swirl us into a bad place. But fear is kind of the main language. A lot of times we aren't aware that we have fear. We don't know it's fear. Like we think it's wisdom when it's not wisdom. It's just fear masquerading as wisdom or whatnot. And I talked about that a few podcasts ago when I talked about the inner critical voice of fear. But what's neat about this is that if the enemy is main voice is fear, God's main voice is love. And in scripture, it says perfect love, which the only way any of us are going to experience perfect love is from God. We can't perfectly love ourselves. We can't perfectly love anyone else, even though it feels like we can, you know, like, cause we have so much love for, you know, different people. And, you know, so it feels like, oh, this must be, you know, perfect, what perfect love is, but it's not possible for us to experience perfect love other than from God, because God is love. Is. He doesn't love best. He didn't create love. God is love. He literally is the word. It's just amazing. And what's cool about that is that we all have equal access to it, and he loves all of us the same. And that's like, that's such good news, right? Because, you know, in life, like some people are married and they've got a very loving marriage. I'm not married, you know, so I don't have that. Some people have a marriage that isn't very loving, you know, some people have amazing relationships with their kids. Some people don't, you know, it's some people have grandparents, some people don't, some, you know, some people have amazing aunts and uncles, some people don't. And so it's like the life that way isn't really fair. We don't all get the equal amount of love in our life, even from our families, which I think is so cool that God created us to be in these little nugs, you know, these little families. I think it's so cute. You know, even at church, like, you know, we can have very loving community, but it's still not going to be perfect. The only perfect love is God's love, is God, actually. It's not even his love, it's just him, who he is. And perfect love casts out fear. That's such good news, because we all have the exact same access to perfect love, which is God. So this does not, nothing in our surroundings, no earthly circumstance can get in the way of this, because this is straight from heaven. This is straight from God. This is straight from the throne room. So that is like such good news. That is the good news. And it's my favorite because I battled with fear like intensely. Funny thing is, I didn't think I had any fear until someone asked me the question, what do you fear? And I was like, I don't have any fear. And the Lord is like, oh, honey, let's talk a little bit, you know, no condemnation from him, but he was just showing me like, let me open some things up for you, you know, so that you can overcome them and get past them, which is like always God's desire is to move us forward and on and through and overcome into the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. So that is such good news. So the way to think about it is the enemy is going to bring fear and God is going to bring love. So if we can really stay over into, if we get into a situation or we hear a thought, you know, this morning I had a thought about something I was kind of having a little fear around, and I had to intentionally kind of like move my brain from like over here, like fear mode. And I had to physically, like mentally take concentration and move it over here. And like, no, God loves me. Like he's gonna, you know, and I had to kind of talk myself into remembering God's love for me in this one situation, which is very real, which probably most anyone would have fear around. It's like a very real circumstance, but it's like, it doesn't matter. The circumstances on earth actually don't really matter. Like they don't. I mean, I know they feel very real, but it's really more in our mind and how we can focus on either fear or love. And it's very biblical. It says perfect love casts out fear. It's like taking the scripture and making it super practical for your life. You know, I'm telling you, it's the best. So again, going back to it, the enemy's voice is going to bring fear and God's voice is going to bring love. And we can partner with God in that. We can listen to the fear and we can go down that circle of disaster in our mind, which we all do. There's no condemnation, but we can also stop the thought and say, no, I am going to focus on God's love for me. And I'm going to change my mind to believe that God loves me and he's going to work this out one way or another. And he might not tell me how, because I'm not God, he's God, and he wants us to trust him. So learning to trust God, you know, it takes some work. It takes some like intentionality in our own minds and our own hearts. And so that's the first thing I want to talk about when it comes to the inner critical voice of the enemy. Second thing I wanted to talk about was condemnation versus conviction. Okay. So condemnation is when you've done something maybe wrong, right? Like you've missed the mark somehow, like on something, and you realize it, but all of a sudden these thoughts come to you, or like, you know, if you really can discern the inner voice, like you start to hear like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe, like, you are such a loser. You're a bad person. It starts attacking your identity. So condemnation is going to say, I am something wrong. It's talking about who you are. Okay. You made a mistake, you did something, or maybe you did it on purpose, honestly, like it happens, right? You missed the mark. It's called sin. You missed the mark and you realize it and you repent for it, you know, or you say, God, I'm sorry. Like, wow. I need to not do that. You know, I'll try better tomorrow. Condemnation is going to come from the enemy. It's going to be like, yep, I knew it. That's who you are. You're a liar. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. That's the enemy talking to you. That's him bringing condemnation to you. He is attacking your identity. He is saying there's something wrong with you. And that's why you did that. Conviction, on the other hand, is God. And he will, because he's a good dad. He will tell us, like, you shouldn't have done that. Like, you know better than that, but he'll be super, super kind about it. Very loving, very love, but he'll tell you, you know, and that's called conviction. And conviction is more about your behavior. Like that behavior wasn't great. You know, like that isn't who you are. Like, and it's more like I've done something wrong. Conviction is I've done something wrong. And God, of course, gives us an out for that. It's called repentance, which means, God, I'm sorry I did that. I realize now that was wrong. or I knew it was wrong when I did it. I did it anyway. I would like to apologize. Please forgive me. And the fruit of that is going to just be like a, just, a, you know, washes away. God said he forgets, you know, he forgets our sin. And so, you know, is that literal? I don't know. But, you know, it's like he forgets our sin once we ask for forgiveness. And so it's focused more on the behavior. And so I feel like I'm getting a little bit in the weeds here, but like there's condemnation that comes from the enemy, which is telling you you're a bad person because you did that. Conviction is God saying, hey, honey, that wasn't great. And then your response is, I'm so sorry, God, you know, I want to do better and please forgive me. And then it washes away. When it's condemnation from the enemy, it says, yep, that's who you are. You've always been the way. You're never going to change. And he'll bring shame and guilt. Then you start just feeling yucky. And then you kind of want to hide from God. You know, oh, I'm not worthy to talk to God. I'm not worthy to worship God because I did this thing. And the enemy's telling you that's who you are, when it's just something you did, which wasn't great. But, you know, there's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. It's all about, I did something wrong. I made a mistake. I sinned, because we're not perfect. But God's going to bring conviction to kind of clear it out for us so we can move forward. And like, he just forgets it and we move on and there's no shame. There's no, none of that. None of that should come with God. But with the enemy, he'll take the same exact mistake and he'll bring shame and guilt and tell you, you know, that's who you are and you're never going to change. And he attacks your identity. So that's another way we can discern like the inner critical voice of the enemy versus, you know, the voice of God. So that was a good one. I've experienced it too. Even today I was apologizing to God for something and there was just shame and guilt that came. And I was like, I was sitting in it for a minute until I realized like, oh, that's the enemy bringing that. You know what I mean? Like I apologize and God's like, let's move on, you know, let's have fun. Like you're my girl, you know? So he's a good dad. You know, he does want to discipline us. He does want to correct us. And we all are always going to need it till we get to heaven. Like none of us have arrived, you know? So, and if we think we have, I think we get in even more trouble. So we have to be careful with that. So that's really what I'm going to talk about today. Just like, you know, how the enemy kind of comes in and really lies to us. And then how do we combat that? You know, how do we combat that voice of the enemy? And there's two ways really. One is, you know, going to God and talking to him and asking him. And, you know, you really have to be intentional with your mind. You know, it's like, it's all in your mind. And so that's the playground, you know, of a lot of this. And so it's like, you know, you really have to make a decision and like decide to listen, you know, to what God would say about that, whether you're finding scriptures to declare over yourself the opposite of what the enemy is saying to you, or you ask for, you know, just his still small voice to speak to you, which is what I teach in my courses. So if you are like, God speaks to you, Lindsay, like, yes, God speaks to everyone, you might just not really know how to tune into it. And I have a great, super practical, amazing way on how to do that in my courses. So jump on and get those if you are like, I want to know how to do that, Lens, because they'll help you. It's really fun. And so those, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about today was just these different ways that the enemy kind of comes in to try to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, I think sometimes we're like, oh, is he going to try to kill me with this or that or this or that? I kind of think he really tries to like lie to you so that you will kind of kill, steal, and destroy yourself, to be honest with you. And also, like I said earlier, he'll try to kill your hope and destroy your peace and, you know, steal your joy and, you know, discourage you, but he often lies to you and really partners with self-hatred and tries to take you out. It's, and I'm laughing because he doesn't win, you know, but I mean, he doesn't really want you to move forward. So it's really important that we learn to hear God's voice in his word, his still small whisper, so that we can combat the lies the enemy tells us. And then too, as we learn
you know, to really overcome that self-hatred as we learn to receive God's love, which is a course I have, which I love because that was a big healing piece for me. As we learn to receive God's love, learn to love ourselves, we can kind of change, you know, the inner critic into the inner encourager, which really has happened in my life, which is a freaking miracle because, oh my word, like I had the meanest inner critic ever. That's why I love to talk about it. Because I want to help other people. But as we learn to kind of move the inner critic into the inner encourager, that will also be a second defense, a second line of defense from the enemy, right? Because we've got God, you know, we've got God, we've got his word, we've got his still small whisper. That's our first line of defense. And he never loses, obviously, but let's say the enemy like kind of gets in there with a thought, you know, because we kind of let it in sometimes, you know? So let's say we hear it, we partner with it. It comes like kind of through. And, you know, if our inner voice is more of an inner encourager, it's going to also kind of be like, beep, 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 you know, and it's going to alert you and you're going to be able to battle that in your mind. If like me, your inner critic is pretty mean, and then you've got, you know, the enemy kind of sneaks in a way. I mean, it's kind of a double whammy against you and it's like, not great. You know, it's really kind of can just jack you up. So it's important to really have both, to really, you know, be able to hear the Lord's still small whisper, to obviously have scriptures to combat the lies that the enemy's telling you. And then to have an inner encourager that will not take the enemy's crap either. You know, it's like a double whammy. So anyway, that's what I'm going to talk about today. The inner critical voice of the enemy. Again, we don't give him any credit. He doesn't have any authority over us. We have all the authority. He does have power when we give it to him. And so we have to be really wise about this so that we don't give him any power in our life, you know? And I think when the inner critic is, you know, on the unhealthy side, which mine was for a long time, you know, it does kind of weaken you, unfortunately. But when you can move it over to be the inner encourager, it will strengthen you. So anyway, that's what we have for today, guys. I'm going to pray for us and I am excited to continue. I think we're going to do one more of these kind of this little mini series on the different voices of the inner critic. And then we're going to get back to our interviews. So I'm very excited. So Holy Spirit, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that you live in us and you give us so much wisdom and you help us through things we don't even know. We're so grateful for that, God. And I just speak a discernment into everyone listening here today, God, that you would give them a discernment on the thoughts in their mind, Lord, and where they come from and how to go to battle. I thank you that you've been teaching this for many, many, many years. And I'm just so honored to be able to share it with others, God. So I thank you that you know what you're doing in all of our lives and we can trust you. Help us to trust you, God. Help us to love ourselves. Help us to love you. Help us to let that love into ourselves, God, so that it can overflow onto all those around us, God, and we can walk in the way you want us to walk. So I bless my friends listening and I bless you. You're so amazing. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen, guys. Okay, bless you. See you next week. Well, well, well. Wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindsaymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antonori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.